You're listening to Gamesform's Mobilize and Monetize podcast. Dive into the world of mobile gaming with us as we explore the latest trends and discuss best practices.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mobilize and Monetize. Now, today's episode is a really fascinating one because with my guests, I'm going to be talking about all things research, data, trends, insights. So joining me today is none other than the lovely Melinda Spence, who is, of course, Head of Measurements and Insights at Activision Blizzard Media, where she gets to lead a team that sheds light on the gaming space. So a massive welcome to the podcast, Melinda. So good to have you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you.
And we have absolutely loads to get through today and some really, really interesting insights. So I'm going to kick things off. Melinda, tell us a little bit about the Play It Forward research report. I had a little bit of a read through it, and it's some really, really fascinating, interesting insights. What were some of the findings that really stood out to you that the industry should know?
Well, first of all, thank you. And yeah, absolutely. The Play It Forward research is the result of a year-long study of our team trying to demystify attention. We undertook this research for two key reasons. First, of course, attention has become incredibly fragmented. We have so many channels, platforms, and pieces of content competing for eyeballs. It's obviously no wonder about only a third of ads today receive full attention. For marketers, this makes capturing and sustaining attention a real challenge for everyone. And the other reason is that we know gaming is uniquely effective at capturing attention. It consistently outperforms other media metrics like viewability and view rates, as well as other proxy attention metrics. So we were thinking about this and we asked ourselves, why is gaming so good at attention? Like what's its secret?
Right.
And the research that we did uncovered a clear answer. The key to quality attention is stable immersion. When someone is immersed, they're not just paying attention, they're deeply engaged. And this is the kind of engagement that's incredibly powerful because it predicts consumer action and memory with up to 80% accuracy. This impacts critical metrics like brand recall, awareness, and purchase intent. And this immersion is where gaming excels. Not only does gaming outperform online video and social media in this area, but it also holds immersion over time. So this stability is what makes gaming such a powerful channel for brands. It's not just about reaching an audience, it's about being able to connect with them in a way that truly resonates and drives meaningful results.
Right, so you said a key word there, immersion. So how does your team measure immersion? How do you define it?
Absolutely fair question. Immersion is about someone's attentiveness and their emotional resonance with what's in front of them. So the way that we measured immersion, and just so you know, we did this work with this amazing research company called Alter Agents. And we worked with them using this mixed methodology approach to triangulate data from players' interactions with games and other media. So the way that we did this was through the respondents' answers to questions, their eye tracking, and tracking their heart rate, so the heart rate monitoring. And we combined all these elements together to output an immersion score. And this tracks someone's engagement and attention in all these different ways, right? And layers this data. And as I mentioned before, this score is incredibly powerful when it comes to predicting metrics all down the funnel for brands.
Right. So the Play It Forward report, it sort of highlights gaming's ability to sustain, stable immersion more consistently than other media, like you mentioned. So what are your thoughts on how brands can capitalize on this unique aspect of gaming?
So immersion isn't just a buzzword. It's like this critical factor in driving consumer action and memory. And the stable immersion, that's really like the key word, the stable immersion, takes campaign performance to the next level. So, great brands already have a playbook for this. The first thing that great brands do for this that we have seen is to ensure their creative style fits seamlessly into the gaming environment. For example, using our own brand, our own game Candy Crush Saga, brands can enhance the player experience by introducing complimentary, rewarded mini games or interactive content that feels like really like a natural extension of the gameplay. And the key is making that ad feel relevant and respectful to the environment that the player has joined that game for. So to the environment that players love. And then what these brands do is they work with partners who prioritize the player experience and protect that immersion. So whether it's through rewarded ads, opt-in placements, or engaging interactive formats, players expect a value exchange with advertising. So when you deliver something that feels rewarding to the player, entertaining, and or beneficial, it helps to keep that experience positive for both the player and your brand.
So what would you say to the sort of brands who are like, how should we be thinking about attention?
Well, yeah, attention is a hot topic in the industry right now. It has been for a couple of years. But I think what's really interesting about it, and part of the reason we studied it, is because it's important to note that there's no single metric that truly defines it. So while attention metrics can be exciting, or it sounds like a great word, this buzzword, they really lose their value if they're not tied to proven outcomes for brands. And like I said, this can mean different things to different brands, what they say attention is. So that's where immersion really becomes critical. So rather than attention, immersion. We encourage brands to move beyond metrics like reach or engagement and focus on this quality attention, or as we say, immersion. So kind of breaking this down a little more, like brands should choose immersive channels that prioritize creating thoughtful, tailored experiences that align with the medium and sustain immersion. In gaming specifically, we know that players have high expectations, not just for the games that they play, like strong narrative, good graphics, developing changes in the games, updates and all that, but they also have these super high expectations for the ads that are within them. We did another piece of research called Premium by Design, and we found that the players value ads that match the game's quality in terms of graphics, relevance, and fit. And when this is done well, the ad can feel like a natural part, and actually it's even welcomed. It's a welcomed part of the experience, amplifying its impact. Right. So I think, when we think about attention, brands should really focus on delivering immersive, well-crafted experiences. And, that's not to say that that's all on them. Typically, in the best cases, like anything, typically that's hand in hand with the game's creative team. So you're partnering together because you each have this expertise in your own respective areas. And when you are able to come together like that, what you create is something that respects the player's time and it enhances the overall environment. And that's really where the magic and definitely indeed the results happen.
Right. So moving on to another report here, the Many Ways We Play report. This report has identified six distinct gaming audience segments. What surprised you the most about these segments, and how do these behaviors challenge the traditional assumptions that we may have about gamers? I'm sure there's a fair few stereotypes out there.
Yes. Well, we've, as an industry, I think, been trying to debunk that for a long time. And doing the segmentation, we did a segmentation piece like this a few years ago, just after COVID, when obviously the media landscape was changing, the way people were using media was changing a lot. And now we've just redone it. And like you said, came out with this many ways we play research. So, I think kind of stepping back, I've been in this space for a while. And, even with the repeat of this, just when you think that you've got it all figured out, you learn something really new and exciting about this incredible audience. And I have so many things to share. So great question. One thing that really stood out to me in the many ways we play is that across each of the six segments, the average age within each segment was at least 30. So right away, that challenges the stereotype of gaming being just for teenagers.
Hmm.
Now we're in a situation where people have grown up with gaming, so it's been a part of their life the entire time. It's not, you can't just be a gamer. You just are, you just exist.
Right.
Even more fascinating, the average gaming tenure for most segments spans decades. So far more than 10 years. And of course we do have a segment called the late adopters and, they've been playing about 7 years, but of course that's expected given their name. Another good one is that males aren't the majority in every segment, For our mobile focus segments, like we see with Candy Crush Saga players, we actually see strong skew towards women, particularly older millennials. And, you know, just one more, one anecdote from when we were in the lab doing this research, you know, it really made us all as a research team smile and like, we're pretty bemused by it. So some of the players that we talk to spend more than 20 hours a week gaming, yet they still don't consider themselves gamers.
That's a good one. I like that.
We had this conversation with this person in the lab and he told us he plays games for like 30 to 40 hours a week. So like a full-time job plus, you know, he had a job.
Yeah.
We asked him like, do you consider yourself a gamer? And his response was a firm no. He said no compared to his friends, the amount of time they spend gaming, and no because of the type of games that his friends play versus him. So you can see kind of like thinking about this attention metric, like, you know, we're in this industry where we can't even settle on one definition for attention. Mm. And then even among players or just people generally, no one can decide on what the definition of a gamer is. Yeah. Right. So kind of like stepping back from all of that, like these insights are a reminder of just how massive and diverse the gaming audience is. You know, gamers are truly everyone. It's not a monolith. And that's why understanding these segments and their unique behaviors is so critical for brands that are looking to connect authentically with players.
Right. So you mentioned mobile gaming there. And mobile gaming seems to be a common touch point across all gamer segments. Mm-hmm. So how has this sort of universal preference for mobile gaming influenced how brands should approach advertising strategies within different gaming ecosystems?
Yeah. So there are two key ways to think about this. First, if you're a brand looking to reach gamers, you need to know that 79% of all players of 3.4 billion people play on mobile. This means that even if your target audience includes PC or console players, there's a really strong chance you can connect with them through mobile gaming. Because mobile isn't just a segment of gaming, it's a shared touch point that bridges all types of players. The second one is that if your goal is to engage with players throughout the day, a cross-platform strategy becomes essential. Many gamers switch seamlessly between mobile, console, and PC depending on the time of the day or their situation. What's more, they're often prioritizing gaming over other forms of media. So we did a study on this as well, like called the engagement game. So looking at how media consumption has changed. And now we're also rebooting that. So, you know, even how players choose to play games while they're engaging with other media. And so this is really happening quite a lot. So this makes gaming really a central part of their daily media consumption. And this is an opportunity for brands to be able to connect with players wherever they are.
Really interesting stuff. So Melinda, your research also explores, and this is a bit that I'm sort of interested in, the emotions elicited by gaming. Mm-hmm. How do these emotional experiences affect player receptivity to in-game advertising? I mean, you know, what kind of storytelling or ad mechanics best work to complement the player's emotional journey? You know, I feel like as research continues to be done, we see how important this is.
So, I mean, first of all, not to call out another piece of research, but we did this social connector research, and it's probably one of my favorite about, you know, the feelings and the way that communities are built through gaming and all of this. So, you know, that's why it's so core to protect this kind of gaming environment, especially when you're coming to advertising. So all of this ties back to something that I mentioned earlier about how immersed you are in an experience depends largely on the emotions that it evokes. So different games are obviously going to elicit a wide range of emotions. Players might feel excitement, they might feel challenged, or they might be going there and feeling that sense of accomplishment. But across the board, what we know is that all players have in common that they play games to relax and to take a break from life's daily demands. And that's why what we tell brands, wherever possible, is to have fun with the campaigns and even find ways to create joy for the player. So a great example of this is a product candy campaign that we did within Candy Crush Saga, where they offered free product samples to players who completed their mini game. It was like we thought it was going to be successful, but it was like a massive success. They gave away all 40,000 samples in just one day. So
Wow.
sold out. They did not expect that. We didn't expect that. They saw an over 1,800% increase in website traffic, and they had a click-through rate higher than 6%, which is like just unbelievable. So this is where you kind of pull in that magic that I was talking about the brand and the game coming together to create something really unique, making it something also unique for not only themselves, like that experimentation, but also for the player. And it was a win for everyone. And that's really what we aim for. So a couple more things on this, like another way to complement the player's emotional journey is by introducing ads thoughtfully. So this is like an absolute priority for us. So with us, what we do is we prioritize opt-in. So you have the choice to watch an ad or not. And it's non-disruptive ad formats that we prioritize. So they reward players for their time. So I mentioned the phrase earlier about a value exchange. And that's what we're talking about here, providing players with control, transparency, and something that they value in return. So these are really like simple but critical elements that not only help brands maintain a positive presence within gaming or just generally, but also preserve that overall gaming experience, making sure that players stay immersed and engaged.
So something that they sort of value when it comes to advertising within games, I mean, this is links to context. So context is obviously crucial for brands and players and advertising within games, as you mentioned. So how does the context of a game, its narratives, mechanics, community, shape player perceptions of ads? And what lessons, you know, can brands learn from this to create a more valuable advertising experience?
Yeah, I love this because context is everything when it comes to advertising in games, especially for players. You know, a game's narrative shapes how the player... how players connect emotionally and immerse themselves in the experience. And, you know, it doesn't stop there. Player communities, like you mentioned, they're deeply invested in the worlds in which they play. They're not just playing games, they're sharing gameplay online. They're creating buzz. They form these like unbelievable friendships across the world and through generations, through families, you know, everywhere. And they build what we call fandoms. And when this is really done thoughtfully, advertising in games can feel like a natural extension of this world. Players can perceive a brand's presence in their favorite game as like a show of support, kind of like this vote of confidence for what they already love. This creates like this positive association, or as we would say, the halo effect, where players see the brand as part of what makes the experience even better. I mentioned before, I can't remember if it was implicitly or explicitly, but you know, we believe in this player first mentality. This means being intentional about when and where ads appear. So never sacrificing the player experience for that. That's for the player's protection and also for the brand's protection. So this ensures by making sure that this happens, this enhances rather than disrupts the gameplay. For example, we place ads at natural pauses in the game, like between levels, so that they don't break immersion. Players always have the option to engage with the ads, like we say, opt in. And this protects the flow of their experience while increasing the ad's impact. For brands, the key to success here is embracing the game's unique personality and being willing to do something creative and fun. You know, we like to think of it like weaving into the game's fabric, whether it's a mini game that fits the theme, like a confectionery challenge in Candy Crush Saga, or a campaign that taps into the shared joy of gaming communities. When an ad feels like a natural part of the game, they don't just work better, they add value for the players, the brands, and the game itself. And, you know, like I spoke about before, that's what happened with the product Candy campaign.
So last question for you here, Melinda, and a bit of future gazing. So looking ahead, how do you see the relationship between gaming and advertising evolving? What emerging trends or insights do you believe will define the next wave of premium in-game advertising experience and reshape the way that brands connect with these audiences? Pretty big question for you here, but I think you'll be able to give us some really, really interesting insights.
Oh, that's great. I have the crystal ball right here. So we're already seeing brands experimenting with various approaches, from rewarded video ads to shops in game or doing kind of around the game activities, you know, like confectionery, partnering within a game. Definitely, and I hope, you know, experimentation will continue to play a big role. But what's really exciting about this is how gaming's unique leaned-in format is setting the stage for more inventive and thoughtful ad experiences, right? Because it's not a passive media experience. You have to do something to make something happen. And that's why you start to game, you know, to have this interaction. And this is what it can extend to the brands and their advertising within games. So, you know, we know that players expect, as I spoke about before, and of course they deserve, ads that feel intentional and respectful of their time. And we're in this culture of immediacy where if you don't like something, you're going to turn it off. So brands and the games need to be, I guess, have that heightened awareness of that. And, you know, when they do, we see that some of these brands are really good at embracing that interactivity, understanding that value exchange, and really have these authentic personalities to bring to the table. And those are the kinds of brands that will see the most success. I think, you know, okay, that was the creative side, kind of looking to the business side. I think we're also going to see significant advancements on the industry side. The process of buying and integrating gaming media, I believe, will become simpler and more streamlined. And that'll help to make gaming a more obvious choice for advertisers. It'll be a no-brainer. As this evolution happens, I think gaming's no longer going to be seen as just like this niche channel where they need to think separately about it or have different conversations for approval, but it'll be a part of the core media mix for reaching diverse and engaged audiences. I think, just like to close this out, like ultimately, I think the next wave of premium in-game advertising is going to be defined by creativity, authenticity, and this unwavering focus on enhancing the player experience. Brands that are going to be able to lean into these principles will not only connect more deeply with players, but also help shape the future of this, like, this incredible space. Future is bright.
Creativity, authenticity, and improving upon the play experience. I love it. Melinda, thank you so much for your time here today. I feel like you really imparted some real gems of knowledge on the mobile gaming industry.
Well, thank you.
It's been a fantastic chat. And for those who are listening, I'm going to link both the Play It Forward report as well as the Many Ways We Play report within the podcast description. I really recommend it. It's so, so interesting to see some of these insights. Yeah, I really encourage people to read it. So with that was it for this week's Mobilize and Monetize podcast. Until next time.